Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jody McDonald!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN.
11 o'clock hour here on The Fan. Jody Mac sticking around till 2 a.m. Seems like a long way off. But we always get there. I do so usually with a helping hand from you guys on the telephone lines, 877-337-6666. I'll do it for the next 10 minutes. Helping hand coming from none other than our Met beat reporter right here on The Fan, one Edward Arthur Coleman. How's Florida treating you, Eddie?
Arthur? Where'd you get Arthur from?
Do you remember my ex-partner who I used to work with here at The Fan, male, not female?
Yeah.
Initials SR. He gave everyone the middle name Arthur.
Okay.
Everybody was Arthur. So I hadn't called you Edward. I remember he used to call you Edward Arthur Coleman. So I hadn't called you that in a while, so I thought I would go there. I don't know. I was just in a Sid moment there.
I'll take Arthur. What the heck? That's fine with me. It's 11 o'clock at night. It's fine with me. And I'm in Port St. Lucie. Hey, no.
It's not.
It's rather warm down here, yeah.
Not the worst place to be. I hear that. Which, by the way, I've already annoyed you once. Let me annoy you again. What is your actual middle name?
It's Francis.
Francis. Edward Francis Coleman. Shame on me. I should have known that, too. All right. Then I continue to need to be educated. We'll start with Mets / Astros, because everything these days is / Astros. They have two players on the roster who were members of the Astros in 2017, J.D. Davis and Jake Marisnyk. Have any of the Mets who have no association with the Astros had any issues, problems, conversations that went past what would be just regular spring training conversations with any of the former Astro players?
No, I honestly don't think so. None to my knowledge, and I haven't seen anything. You know, both guys are rather easy to get along with, and J.D. Davis and Jake Marisnyk. And Marisnyk is new. Everyone knows J.D. But they apologize for their their transgressions and I think, at least I was told anyway, that Davis took some convincing, as a matter of fact, because I'm not quite sure why. But, he's younger and maybe a little more stubborn, I'm not sure. But Marisnyk, I thought was, laid it out pretty well. I thought he owned it pretty well when he made his little act of contrition, shall we say. He just said, I should have known better. I had a chance. I could have stopped it. I didn't. And I should have known better. I'm old enough. He was there for a couple of years. Came up in 2013, was already traded. So he knew his way around baseball. Davis was the guy who got there on August 5th. So I guess you can forgive him a little bit for, not stepping in or not blowing a whistle. But, both guys, I thought handled it okay, and they haven't had any problems with their teammates at all, really.
That's good to hear. If Marisnyk's association with the Astros is in the past, what is his role on this team this year? Can it be as much as starting 135, 140 games and becoming, if not the everyday center fielder, more often than not? Is he going to be a guy who bounces around a couple of things? How much is at stake here in spring training for a guy like Jake Marisnyk?
Yeah, I mean, I think he may play in somewhere like 120 or 130 games, but that would be a lot as a defensive replacement, I think. Again, if he hits Mac, and certainly better than he has, one thing that worked against Marisnyk that made him stand out in 2017 was that was his best offensive season, and especially at home in Houston at Minute Maid Park. So, nonetheless, he really hasn't been an offensive contributor of note other than that. And, you know, that even wasn't an outstanding season. So he's got a great glove. And I think, you know, you're probably looking at, you know, a Juan Lagares type, but I think Marisnyk is, you know, maybe on that level defensively in center field or any outfield position. But I'm not sure how many games he's going to start. You know, he will get some playing time. I don't think there's any question. Luis Rojas has been pretty open about, you know, trying to move people around and be as versatile as possible, and he really hasn't set a lineup yet, or he hasn't even set positions. But I think you know where a few people are going to be playing. But Marisnyk, I think, will have to kind of chop out his time as it goes along.
Fair enough. And if we start with the agreement that Jake Marisnyk is the best defensive center fielder on this team, how would you describe, and yeah, we got to see him play in camp, and we've seen him play elsewhere with, as you mentioned, traded Florida into Houston. We've got a good grasp on his defense. We should have a good grasp on Nimmo's defense. How would you describe the drop-off from Marisnyk to Nimmo defensively in center field?
Interesting. You know, I haven't seen enough of Marisnyk here. I have seen him in years past, and that I think he's outstanding. The drop off, boy, I don't know. You know, Nimmo is okay. I'd say slightly above average, and Marisnyk, I think, is an excellent. I guess I would rate him excellent. So it's not a severe drop-off, but I think there is a drop. I don't think there's any question about that.
All right, so here would be my question, and we're moving through this in stages. If Nimmo is slightly above average, or average, whatever you want to call him, and whoever the Mets have in left, and that could be a couple of different individuals over the course of the season, depending on health and coming back and everything, will Marisnyk go into center field and Nimmo go to left? Will Marisnyk just go to left field? If he's going to be used as a defensive replacement, which you suggested and I kind of agreed with, how does that move the pieces around the chessboard?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think a lot depends on who is in left field. But, even if you just take the combination of Cespedes / J.D. Davis, I think there will be defensive replacements galore. And that probably means Nimmo shifting over there, Marisnyk playing center field. I don't know how the Cespedes experiment here is going to work out. I'm not even sure he's going to be on the opening day roster. I'm sure he feels he's going to be there, but you know, we'll see as we move along in the spring. But either way, I think you're probably limited there. And again, I haven't seen Cespedes play the outfield yet. That's the big question to me down here. I think he can hit. I think he can always hit. But the problem is, you know, what's he going to be like in the field? And what's he going to be like over the course of an entire baseball season? So if you put those two out there, I think you're probably going to see, you know, Nimmo shift and Marisnyk in center probably.
Eddie Coleman here with us on the Fan. All right, Cespedes in the clubhouse. You mentioned Cespedes in the batter's box, Cespedes in the field, Cespedes in the clubhouse. I've gotten into a couple debates with fans here the last couple of days who said, doesn't bother them one iota, it won't affect the Mets, it's Cespedes isn't talking to the media. And I said I beg to differ because there's going to come the night where he doesn't hit and another guy on the team strikes out twice and leaves four runners in scoring position. And everyone is going to flock to that guy, and they're going to have to answer all the tough questions. And Cespedes is going to sit there with his 0-for-3 with two strikeouts and being defensively replaced. Then nobody's going to talk to him. How is that going to play in the clubhouse? Are guys going to get annoyed if they get more scrutiny because Cespedes says, I'm not taking any?
Yeah, I think that's always a problem, and I think it wears over time on other guys. Let me say this. Anytime there's been an 0-for-3 with two strikeouts with Cespedes, we've never talked to him, okay? The only time we ever do talk to him is when he's had an outstanding game. It's when he deigns to talk to us. I don't really care. If I don't talk to Yoenis Cespedes all year, I don't really care. I honestly don't. So it didn't surprise me the other day when he said no, the way he did it. Kind of surprised me, honestly, after 2 years away, but it didn't shock me because I've seen that before. He's temperamental, let's put it that way, and you might say prima donna, it doesn't matter, whatever you want to call him. that's just the way he is. I do think over time that does wear on the other guys in the locker room if they have to answer for him or if they have to answer questions on a night when they might not necessarily do it, but they have to because he won't talk. So, yes, I do think it becomes a problem over time. You know, on an individual basis, probably not because he hasn't done that a heck of a lot. That's we only talk to him when he has a star outing, you know.
Okay. Mets announced today that on Split Squad Saturday, when they open up actual spring training games, that Rick Porcello is going to get the home game. And there is a significance to that because that game's going to be on TV back here in the New York market. Anything to read into that? Did he just show up at camp earlier, or is he actually in a bullpen, been more impressive, and that's why he's getting the first start? What do we make of Porcello getting the spring opening home start?
Yeah, no, it's hard to really, because it took us a couple of days to actually get out of Luis Rojas, who was going to start this weekend. It's one thing that's been a little bit peculiar, but we've, you know, kind of given him some rope, so to speak, and given him some leeway because he's new. You know, usually, you know, we ask on, you know, say a Monday or Tuesday, you know, who's going to start this weekend or what's the lineup for the weekend? And, you know, we kind of get an answer as to who it is. We were told today it was going to be, you know, Porcello in the home start. I don't make a heck of a lot out of it. You know, he's been here. He's thrown a couple of bullpens already. He has faced, you know, live BP. Most of the pitchers have at this point, but he was one of the first guys to do it. So I think he's just up at that point in time. And I have no idea whether it, because I'm not into figuring ahead exactly where he's going to face, you know, a spot in the rotation come opening day. I think it's way too early for that. So, you know, I think it's just one of those things that he's ready to go. They're going to give him the ball and see what he can do.
All right, last one, and I know they have workouts and you get to see some and you don't get to see others, so I'm not going to ask you to handicap how he's looked throwing so far. But what's Edwin Diaz's attitude like so far?
I think it's been great. I really do. And he does look good throwing as well, too. It was kind of interesting the other day that he was, you know, asking hitters where certain pitchers, certain pitches that he threw were landing and what they saw. He asked Jed Lowry that. He asked Michael Conforto that as well, too. So, you know, he's paid attention to detail down here. I think, you know, you're probably looking at a kid who came to camp last year and got himself ready, but made the difference this year in getting himself ready before camp, and now he's ready to go here and has a lot to prove. Did a lot in the off season. Pedro Martinez helped him a lot. I think that helps as well. I think his confidence has been restored a little bit, and Luis Rojas worked on that a lot, and so has Jeremy Hefner too. I think he realizes how important he is to what they want to do, and I think everybody else realizes that as well, too. If you have a Diaz at the end of games to save games and not give up 15 home runs in the ninth inning like you did last year, it's going to be a heck of a different season if you can, you know, pretty much put together what you did last year offensively. So I think that there's a big difference to me in Diaz, and I guess the biggest thing, Mac, would be you know, his confidence. I just think he feels he's going to get back to where he was in 2018 as opposed to last year, and that's a real good sign. I'm not saying he's going to get 57 saves, but I don't think you're going to see a repeat of last year. At least I hope not, because I don't want to go through that again. Neither does he.
Yeah, you, me, everybody on the planet. Edward, good stuff. Thank you very much. We will talk again soon enough. Stay inside. Don't get sunburned down there while you.
I will try. I will do my best. I'll stay out of the heat anyway if I can. I think it's going to rain this weekend, unfortunately, when the Mets start playing.
Oh,
that's great. Everybody has some rain coming, so hopefully they get that in. But we'll see.
Bring your
slicker. Mac, always good talking to you.
Bring your slicker. That is Edward. I'm not going to call him Arthur. Francis Coleman here with us on the Fan.
Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.